5, I think verse 17. Jesus Christ speaking says, "My Father worked hitherto." I think that's the passage in which that is found.
But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work."
Notice, as many of you would have understood, that what is said is worded in the present tense. My Father worketh, present tense. I too worketh, present tense. And the present tense implies progressiveness, which means it is ongoing. What Jesus Christ was saying is that, in effect, even though the Almighty God, His Father, had stopped the creative work of creation, that aspect of God's work was completed. But it doesn't mean that God did not have some other work which He continues to work on. And what Jesus Christ was saying is that up to this point when Christ speaks, God was still working. What does that have to do with the series of lessons and the providence of God? We are interested in knowing how does He work today. God's modus operandi, God's mode of operation. How does God work today? Why is this important? Because there are so many concepts, ideas in respect to how God is working today. We have gone through that. We have listed about four ideas, philosophy, concept. We tell you about the deists who feel that God finished the world, completed it. Yes. He created the world, but He had nothing to do with it after He created it. So this world is like a wound-up clock. It's totally on its own. That's the deist. Then there are those we have discussed who feel that everything is chance. Fate, F-A-T-E. Everything is chance. Whatever happens in the world, there is no intelligent mind behind it. It's just by accident, anything that goes on. Then there is the religious people who feel that God is performing miracles every day. If they were sick and they got better, it's a miracle. If they were unemployed and now they got a job, it's a miracle. Everything is miracle. From what the Bible teaches, we strongly feel and believe and know that all those three concepts are wrong and false. But there is yet another concept that would be found in the passage of St. John chapter 5 and verse 17. that the brother just read, where Jesus Christ, there is teaching that God is still working. The question is, how does He work today? And the lesson over the past many weeks is that God is in fact working, but He's doing so not miraculously, but providentially. That's where we are. When we ended last week, we pointed out that the Almighty God providentially operates in the world today, now, by means of natural laws and selected agents. We pointed out when we ended last week on the point that prior, when a child of God prays, he prays with the belief that God is going to respond to his prayer. Well, does he respond to it miraculously? Not in our time, but he responds nonetheless. That is providentially. Very important. And that's why I need to pick up here. That while the Almighty God exercises a general providence over the universe and in respect to all the creatures that are in the world, in the universe, God exercises a general providence on a whole. That providence affects everything and every creature. But there is also, in addition to God's general providence, there is God's special providence for His people, the Christian. God's special providence for His people, the Christian. We have brought to your attention passage like Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. The inspired writer didn't stop there. For good to them who are
the cause.
The cause. Wait. That is, men and women who responded to the gospel call of the Almighty God. The passages talk about Christians. The people for whom God's special providence is reserved. God is like, wait, I'm not finished with the passage. I'm just illustrating. God's special providence is like a rich man, very kind, very considerate. In the community, he helps a lot of people. Always sending many children to school, feeding many mothers who do not have it. It would be a mistake for the people who benefit from that rich man's special providence to think that's the same general help he gives to everybody, that's the same general help he gives to his children.
his children going to be treated differently? That's right. That's right. And he's going to maintain mentally and emotionally a responsibility to his children that he does not maintain towards the general community. And so that's the way God providence. All things work together for good to them who are the called
according to his purpose.
According to his
purpose.
Purpose. Are you called according to God's purpose? Let me put it another way. Have you responded to the gospel call? Because for those who have responded, the Almighty God's special providence is for those people. And that's what Jesus Christ was talking about in the book of St. John chapter 15. Quick, we need to. You see, we are touching on these passages, but there is good reason I feel we need to touch on them to make sure they stick with you. Let me hear it, brother.
If ye abide in me.
What, brother?
If ye abide in me.
What, brother?
If ye abide in me.
What, brother?
If
you abide in me. But suppose, Jesus Christ, we don't abide in you. You have a different ball game there. If is stating condition. If you notice, abide in. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? It means to stay in. It means once you get in Jesus Christ, country people would answer, Tandy. That's right. But Mr. Mitchell, how do you get in him? We may deal with that. Okay, if you abide in me.
And my words abide in you.
And his words abide in you. Christian, always remember that this is stating what happens to the life of the Christian. Remember, to abide in Christ means that you have gotten in him through baptism. Are we all there? And his word, for his word to abide in you mean it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is directing your life. Wait. But Mr. Mitchell, what if the teachings of Moses is directing my life? The wrong thing is directing your life. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth. You see, we need truth to guide our lives. So you must abide in Christ, get in him, and his word abide in you. Are we all there? May I just say it while I'm here? Prayer, effective prayer, is based on relationship. Answered prayer is based on relationship. Well, Brother Mitchell, leave the subject of providence and he's now talking about prayer. No, sir, I'm right with providence. Because what we are saying is that when God responds to the prayer of the Christian, he does so providentially. And we are at the point where we are saying God operates providentially in a general way towards all men and women. How do I know? He sent rain on the just and on the unjust. But he has a special providence that is for his people, the Christian. And the passage that we have just brought to your attention in the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you stay in Christ and His word stay in your meaning, you are a child of God who is guided by the gospel. Then what happens?
Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done.
Only then can you ask what you want. That's right. Mr. Mitchell, I've always thought that prayer is for everybody. No, sir. May I, you know, there are so many things coming up here. May I just throw some here? There are a lot of people in the world, you cannot just get to them at will. Don't everybody here know that? Huh? That's the way it is in the world, all over. But with the secular world, it is based on social status, economical status, political status. Huh? That's the way. If you want to see our prime minister, you just cannot go knock on the door and say, what's his name again? Mr. Holness, I would like to have a discussion with you. No, sir. And I said, work. You'd have to set up appointment and they see if you have any time. And in fact, a lot of times they find out who you are and what you want to see him for. And probably it's another 6 months before you can see him. If ever. That is based on his social and political status. If you want to see Bush Stewart, get the man who owns all these hotels and ATL, you want a car? If you want to see Bush Stewart, you cannot just go and knock at the man at his door. You have to set up appointment and they will see if there is any space because he's busy. That is based on his economical status. Huh? And I can go on and on. For God now, it's God's character status. God's holiness status. He has told me that your sin has separated. Huh? Because we have sinned and God is holy, we cannot just run at his door and knock the door. And, you see, the mistake the ungodly men and women make is that prayer is for everybody. It's not. Who says so? God. Old and New Testament. God speaking through the wise man, he said, if you turn your ears away from doing what he says your prayer will be an abomination. You know what that passage is saying by Solomon in Proverbs? When you don't listen to God, God will not listen to you. Huh? And Jesus Christ in this passage is telling us that prayer is conditional. It is based on relationship. If your relationship with God is not a right one, a holy relationship, an obedient relationship, a submissive relationship to the gospel of Christ. In this passage, Jesus Christ said, you don't have the right to prayer. Huh? That was John chapter 15 and verse 7. Let us hear another one quick now. And that is James chapter 5, 17. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Let us hear it.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as mm-hmm. we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained
what
not.
What verse are you?
Verse 17.
16.
Confess your faults one to another.
Mm-hmm.
and pray one for another, that ye may be healed.
Watch here now. You need to listen. Read on.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Did you hear the passage? The effectual fervent prayer of a man availeth much.
Of a righteous man. A righteous man.
Of course, the passage is not dealing with gender. Man there is man or woman. Children of God. But you notice how it is qualified? The word before man? Huh? The adjective tell you what kind of man or woman? It must be a righteous person, a person who is submissive to the will of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, through the inspired writer Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the faith.
Wait. No, notice. Watch here. You're watching me? Here God is speaking. The eyes of the Lord is over. And he tells you, notice this but. Now, it's introducing now a contrast, a difference. The eyes of the Lord is over the righteous, and God's ears is open to
their prayers.
But
the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Everybody got that? Prayer is based on, that is effective prayer, is based on relationship. We must have a right relationship with God for our prayer to be responded to by God. We got that? Did we get that? So we can move on. Thank you for the permission. Providence. That's where we were. Prayer is all about the providence of God. Providence, as I've said, is all about God's support, God's care, God's supervision, God's control over all creation. Providence. That God still maintains supervision, control, care over his entire creation. A miracle is God working on a plane or on a level or in a way that is above and beyond natural laws or above and beyond the ordinary work of nature. That is a miracle. When something is done that it is above and beyond the natural law. It is above and beyond the way nature ordinarily works. In providence, the Almighty God utilizes or uses natural law in providence. In miracle, God works directly, staying, putting natural laws on hold. In miracle, God will stay natural laws, stop them. We are going to look on two examples in a few minutes. He put them on hold. Or God may reverse natural law. Are we all here? And in miracle, he usually accomplishes his work instantaneously, usually. accomplishes work instantaneously. In providence, the Almighty God works indirectly, using means to accomplish the ends. I repeat, in providence, the Almighty God works indirectly. I use also the term behind the scene. And He used means to accomplish the end, and in working providentially, the Almighty God usually go through processes. In miracle, Wim Wam, we see the all-powerful, that is the omnipotent, we see the all-wise God working, not miraculously, but providentially. Get this now. The passage was read this morning. We see God working providentially, guiding Joseph through all sorts of natural obstacles, life's ups and downs, guiding Joseph through hate, jealousy, envy, lies, wickedness. All along, the Almighty God was there working with Joseph. May I? Working through the hate of his brother. Working through the lie that his master's wife told on him. Working through the ingratitude of fellow prisoner. All along, the Almighty God was there working through them, around them, or above them, to bring Joseph to the point where God wanted him, and God wanted him at that place to feed God's servant, the house of Jacob. That's it. Application, Brother Mitchell. How do I apply that to myself? This is telling you what God can do for you. And that's why it was written. And not true. Have you ever listed some of what Joseph went through? Many of us would have given up long ago, said, I cannot believe that God, with all His power, permit me to be going through all of this. In fact, one of the series of lessons that is now being considered, in fact, well over a year ago, I started preparation on that series of lessons, but It is a tedious task. The problem of evil, the problem of suffering. If God is in fact mighty, powerful, all wise, why are there so much suffering in the world? Why so much sickness? Why so much evil? Where is God? We'll be looking on that. Joseph might have asked, when he was going through all these turmoil and ups and downs, feeling like he was going through hell, dear Ed, watch here, watch here. He was hated by his brothers that he loved so much. Then they brought the hate to another level. He was hated and they also envied him. Envy is one of the most potent of sin. That's where James tells you that wherever you find envy, in fact, James implied that envy is a pregnant sin. It carries other sin with it. So not only did they hate him, they envied him, but it didn't stop here. They threw him in a pit of death. When his brothers, his biological brother, threw him in the pit, it's just that they did not want their conscience to make them feel like his blood was on their hands. So it's better we throw him in a pit. We know we left him alive in the pit, but they threw him in a pit that he couldn't get out. But you think they finished with him? But watch, you know, if they didn't finish with him, God didn't finish with Joseph either. Because the Almighty God sent some Midianites along the way. It seems as when they were passing the pit, they hear a cry down in the depths of the pit. Help me! Help me! And they drew him out. When Joseph thinks he was redeemed, they sold him as a slave. Are we all there? And Brother Mitchell, don't you take back your statement now that all along God was working with him. Yes, God was working with him. Wait. All of the evil that was directed against him was not directed by God. It was by Satan. But the Almighty God can work through whatever evil is directed against us. He has. Not only did the Midianite took him out from the pit, they stole him as a slave. Are we all there? And then, whoever he was sold to, they sold him again as a slave to Potiphar. I'm just asking, have you ever listed the many things that Joseph went through? And here, Brother Mitchell, I tell you, all along God was working with him. And not only working with him, working through all these evils. Then Potiphar, wife, lied on him. That is after she put sin in his way. Wait. What we don't realize is that Potiphar's wife over a period was putting sin in his way. And Joseph, because of his commitment to what is right, are we all there? We are not there. Because of his commitment to what was right, he resisted. In fact, run to the passage of Genesis 39. Quick, brother. Verse 10 following. Quick.
And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day.
What, brother?
As she spake to Joseph day by day.
Day by day. We get it? Or advanced toward him. To sin was not just one time. It was over a period of time. Day by day, what happened?
That he hearkened not unto her.
He did not yield. Read.
To lie by her or to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business.
He had to carry out his duty. And she took her evil aggressively. Huh? She grabbed on to his shirt. The same trick that Joseph played. Well, not a trick to escape. We usually do that in country. You see, we just play out there in the open, and when we play in different thing and you grab us, we leave our shirt in your hand. Joseph did that. Well, that got to her pride. How can this slave, Egyptian slave, or Jewish slave rather, Hebrew slave, treat me like that, reject me? It was then, and notice here, that which was approved of the man's integrity become a weapon of lie against him. Because the very fact that he left his shirt in her hand, running away from her aggressiveness, she used it. She just pinned it around and used it to destroy him. So he found himself in prison again. Huh? Look at verse 21, saying 39.
But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy.
Isn't this wonderful? What the passage here is telling us is that all that Joseph was going through, all the things that I've listed, from seven ups and down, and there are more, God was with Joseph. Application, Brother Mitchell. When you are going through some difficult times, and it might be over a period of years, are we all there? Difficult times for months. Satan wants you and me to feel that God has abandoned us. Lesson like this is to let us realize, hold on to God's table. He has not abandoned you. Joseph had every reason to feel that he was abandoned by God. But the passage said,
but the Lord was with Joseph.
The Lord was with Joseph.
And showed him mercy.
And showed Joseph mercy.
And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
A prison in there, you know. Oh my God. God, I can't do without this type of favor. In prison. But God, if you have the power to give me favor in the sight of the prison officer, why don't you get me out? That's the way we would think. Please let the providence of God have its process. Please. He may not bring miracle, but he's still working for us. Just give God allowance to do his thing. Huh? May I? Let us look comparatively at some instances of God working both by miracle and by providence in response to the needs of his people. In fact, while I said some instances, we might be able to just give two instances. Because time is always running faster than I want it to run. We are going to look at two instances. There are many more, but we will not have time to examine all those today. We're two of God's servants. And in these two cases, again, we are going to see the response of God to the prayer of a particular set of people. There are two women, both were childless, no fault of theirs. At least, the Bible gives no idea of that. Both of them, God going to intervene and give them children. But what you are going to notice is how for one, God worked miraculously. Are we all there? And for the other, the Almighty God works through providence. In what I had hoped to do is give you about three instances of case like this where God worked through providence. But let us just look at these two. We all hear about Mary. I know about Mary. Eh? Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Before Mary was sexually intimate with Joseph, the man to whom she was engaged to be married, are we all there? And while she was still a virgin, that means she has never known a man sexually, she was pregnant with a child, but this was the work of the Holy Spirit. Are we all there? She then, from that pregnancy, which was the direct word of the Holy Spirit, gave birth to a child, Jesus the Christ. The virgin birth of Mary was fulfillment of Isaiah prophecy that was spoken about some 700 years before Jesus Christ. Where is it found, Brother Mitchell? In the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
The Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Behold,
A
virgin shall conceive.
A virgin shall conceive.
And bear a son.
Your brothers and sisters, even to us, that sounds foolish. That sounds contradictory. I mean, even to in our time of science. A virgin, a woman who has never been with a man sexually. Especially, therefore, in that time. Yet Isaiah prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This was some 745. Well, Isaiah lived from that time to about 600 and must be 90 something, 90 plus BC. That's the time that Isaiah lived. From 745 to about 695 BC. That's why I said some 700 years, it's now being fulfilled. May I? The conception, that is Mary being conceived, and the birth of Jesus Christ, this was truly a miracle. From any consideration, it was a miracle. You didn't have artificial insemination then, where the doctor or the technologist can put the egg and what are the sperm. No, you didn't have that. This was a miracle. It was a supernatural act of the Almighty God in a direct way. The Almighty God suspend, divert, overrule, and redirect the natural biological law. God put those law on hold. A child perpetuation was meant to be carried on. That is perpetuating the human race through sexual contact between a man and a woman. And what and what. That's the way God fixed it. Biological law. But God miraculously suspended those laws so that the Holy Spirit could create this conception and bring our Savior in the world. Thanks be to God for that birth. as contrast, a different case now, where a woman in the Old Testament named Hannah, are we all there? Like Mary, she was childless. Remember, we have just seen where the Almighty God brought a child in the world through miracle. We are looking now where the Almighty God going to bring another child in the world through His providential work. Hannah, in the Old Testament, like Mary, was childless. She was married, and she was sexually intimate with her husband. But she was childless. You know, I don't know if Anna find this encouraging or find this disgusting. That is the attitude of her husband. He seems to have been a wonderful husband. So don't get me wrong. But here this man Elkanah felt that he was God's gift to women. That's right. In encouraging his wife, listen to him in chapter 1 of the book of 1 Samuel, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8.
Then said
Elkanah.
Then said Elkanah.
Her husband.
To her. Hannah. Why weepest thou?
In other words, she longed for a child. And then, you know, another thing, there were some devilish women in her community, real devilish. You know, we use the word bitchy. Are we all there? If you're a child of God, strive never to be a bitchy person. Are we all here? Because a lot of times, the things that you use to mock or to get to a person, God will bring it round on you. So her husband sees the need to encourage her. Let me hear it.
Why weepest thou?
Why do you let this business trouble you?
And why eatest thou not?
And why don't you eat?
And why is thy heart grieved?
Uh-huh.
Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?
You hear that? Truly, he said he was God's gift to her. And that not having a child as she wanted to, that shouldn't trouble her, because she had Elkanah. She had this man who was God's gift to her. Poor Elkanah didn't understand. You know another thing I like about this? Look at verse 10 following.
And she was in bitterness of soul.
Read.
And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore.
May I point out something, because we're coming down to the end of the lesson. May I point out something here? This was a woman who trusted in God. While I'm not on that, but what's going to be emphasized again is that God has special care for His people. There were many witchcraft people around then, eh? What do you mean by witchcraft, Brother Mitchell? People who work up there. It never dawned on her to go to any of them for their concoction. She trusted in God. And in spite of her stress and challenge, she kept depending on God. What verse you read, brother?
10.
Read a little more.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and do not forget thine handmaid but will give unto thine handmaid a man child.
Now the other thing, I instead of Hannah just ask for a child. You're hungry, starving to death. And you're going to tell the person going to save your life, I need some steamed fish. With some brown rice chewed down with just the right kind of butter. My God! Just tell the person to give you something to eat. She should just ask for a child. I tell God, we want a boy child. Read, brother.
Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth.
Now watch here now. Read on, brother.
No, Hannah.
Watch here. She was praying, you know, silently. Read.
No, Hannah. She spake in her heart.
That's right.
Only her lips.
She was praying silently, but God hears the prayer nonetheless. Isn't this wonderful? Read on.
Only her lips moved.
Only her lips moved.
But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken.
That's right. Eli thought she was drinking some wine. Eli thought something here. Eli saw her. Her lips moving, but he didn't hear her talking. He wondered that here is a drunken, intoxicated, or sick woman with her head coming to the temple or the top. Read, brother.
And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken?
That's right. You stay intoxicated too long. Read on.
Put away thy wine from thee.
Stop drinking wine. Eli, you are wrong. The woman was just silently praying to God. Read.
And Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit.
That's right. In other words, I am sown in my mind. I'm not drunken. Read.
I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.
May I? What you need to notice, here is a godly woman who depends on God. And the Almighty God going to respond to her prayer. What verse is that, brother?
That was 15.
15. Go on a little more.
Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial.
Don't count me for a young woman that belonged to the devil, coming to the tabernacle or the temple intoxicated. Read on.
For out of the abundance of my complaint,
that is her grief, her desire. The only person she had to talk to is the Almighty God. Casting, you don't know it, all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's what this woman was doing. Casting all her care upon God. Read, brother.
And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
Read on a little more.
And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. For the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
Read on. You see, she gained confidence now. She spoke to God. She believed. Read on quick, brother.
And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned here and came
again,
unto their house.
You see, prayer, worship. Other ungodly people going to God in prayer, those prayer get lost in the air. But God is always responsive to the prayer of his children. Read, brother.
And returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife.
Okay, here now. That's the verb. Elkanah knew his wife. This means knew her sexually. Are we all there? May I, brothers and sisters, here, by means of God's biological law of procreation, God intervened providentially. The Almighty God going to bless this woman with a boy child as she asks, but you will notice there were no miracles. How do I know? It was all biological law at work. Her husband knew her sexually. She conceived and bore a child. All at that, the Almighty God was at work, but not in a miraculous way, but in a providential way. And whether God worked miraculously or providentially, God is always productive. God's ends are the result God wants always come forward. So in closing, two children were sent into the world. One by means of providence, that is Samuel. The other by means of a miracle, Jesus Christ. May I? It was the same God working in and on both women, but working differently. In one, the Almighty God works through the mode of miracle, and the other one, the Almighty God works through the mode of providence. But God never fails. God is working today for His people. God is working today to keep certain order in the world. But don't expect a miracle from God. He's working providentially. There are so many cases, but we're going to stop here. We have almost the same situation where the Almighty God, working with Isaac and Rebecca, brought another child into the world through providence, not miracle. And we can go on and on. But let me just wrap up in reminding members of the body of Christ that when you hear men and women out there talking about God working miracles, the Almighty God is not using that as His mode of operation this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. God's mode of operation this side of the cross of Jesus Christ is through providence. But God is working as actively, as constantly, and as faithfully for His people. Never doubt God because He doesn't bring you a miracle. Not only that, the Almighty God through Jesus Christ has already served us notice that it is an evil and an adulterous generation who seek miracle. And Jesus Christ said, you seek miracle, you'll never get one. But you know what Satan has done to many? Make them create their own miracle. And then they lie on God. They just sin more. If you're here today, are you also waiting for God to call you by a miracle? You will wait until death. You know why? He has already told us in the Word, in the Gospel, how He calls us. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and I think verse 14, we are called by the Gospel. That is when you hear about the fact that Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary. He was buried and resurrected. And that you must believe that you are a sinner, accept that, and understand that only Jesus Christ through the Gospel can address your sin problem. When you hear that, and that He has provided in His grace and mercy, faith in Christ for you, repentance from sin for you to do, and confession of Christ's name, and for you to get baptized, to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is God's plan of salvation for you. You will wait for miracle until thy kingdom come. The only way that God is going to save you is through listening to the Gospel. For faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. You today can respond to God's grace in Jesus Christ. And you are going to respond the way that God fixes it. Through faith, repentance, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized. For the removal of your sin. May I just throw this out. There are many more lessons that can be brought on. There is a chance, I'm not sure, for me to wrap up the series with another lesson. I'm not sure. But it will deal with the point that God never providentially operates in any way that is in conflict with His nature or in conflict with His divine revealed will. Very important truth to end this series with. I'm not sure if that's the lesson for Sunday coming, if God is willing. But if it is, don't miss it. And that is, the Almighty God never operates outside of His revealed will. In that case, we would even go to where Jesus Christ performed miracles and send the healed man to what the Old Testament had told them to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. God never operates outside of what He has revealed to man. So that may come up in the last lesson, if I preach a final lesson now. But I may just write while I'm at it. And more will be said. But right here, I want to remind you, visitors, we have a vacation Bible school for adults that begins tomorrow.